I'll tell you, like, deals do, they're crazy, right? Like, you know, even with our deals, sometimes it was like, is this going to happen? It just, and that's just the nature of the beast, dude. Like, you have to be, it's a different breed of kind of person. You're just ready, right? Like, you're ready for stuff to go sideways, ready for things to almost fall apart and then to hang on. But, you know, if you have a group of parties that really want to get something done, you know, it gets there for the most part.
Welcome to the Rich Summers Report, where we talk real estate, business, and wealth building, all while keeping it real. No fluff, no BS. I hope that you enjoy the show. All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the report. Today, we got a special guest. This man is in the commercial space. He is actually a broker, and he specializes in a few different asset classes. We got industrial, office space, and retail. Fun fact, he actually leased us. He was the broker on this office space when we leased it out, where we have our podcast set here in downtown San Diego. We got none other than Emmett Cahill. Emmett, welcome to the show, my man.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate you, man. Great to be in the office that I help you lease, and it looks beautiful in here. You're doing a great job, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Appreciate you. And first time for you visiting this office since we leased it out about 6 months ago.
It is.
Definitely looks a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah. You did well on the TIs. You know, it looks good in here. And I like what you did with the black. It makes it all connect. And I was noticing that. I love that too. You know, rich dad, poor dad, the table, everything.
You can grab yourself a glass there if you want, man.
If I'm too nervous, I might chug the whole thing, but we'll see.
Okay, we'll save that for later, my man. But yeah, man, so why don't you just tell us a little bit about what you broker and what you do today?
Yeah. So Emmett Cahill, I'm a commercial real estate broker, QFC Real Estate, downtown San Diego. We actually office right next door, 1495 Pacific Highway. And I'm a guy that I help people find spaces, right? Like similar to what we did with you. I enjoy helping people find spaces for their business. So whether that be office space to run your company out of, industrial space to have a warehouse, you know, that good stuff, retail for restaurants, maybe, you know, different types of sales there. But, you know, I love helping people find spaces and turn it into their own. And I love seeing them make money off the spaces and just really, you know, make them, turn them into something creative and see what they can do with it. So
out of those three asset classes, since the pandemic, which one would you say has the most demand right now?
Definitely warehouse. I think warehouse stood strong during everything, you know, pre-COVID, retail changed the game. People stopped going out. People stopped going to restaurants for a little bit. You know, restaurants had to close down. Office, I think, has changed a ton as well. The work from home phase is which is still happening, and that's a very real thing. You know, I'm seeing companies, whether it's 2-3 days a week in the office or just shut down the office completely, like it's definitely happening. I'd say retail and an office took the biggest hit, and warehouse is still hot, man. Like there's still a lot going on, especially in San Diego. There's not a ton of inventory. We're a very inventory low market right now, just because people are moving on it fast, you know. Tons of companies are moving to San Diego. They just are. It's a beautiful place. Prices aren't as high as San Francisco, you know, better, lower cost of living and better weather. And, you know, I love San Diego. I think it's the greatest place in the country.
What kind of people are renting warehouses and industrial buildings right now? What kind of companies?
So, you know, we're seeing a ton of stuff. Some restaurant, you know what I mean? Some restaurants are doing it just for warehousing, like keeping their stuff there, storage. But I'm working with a ton of, who do I have right now? Some guys, I'm working with the flower shop. There's some stuff going on with that. Some flooring companies, Kohl's Fine Flooring. There's a lot of tenants in the market right now. Another group I'm working with is called Craters and Freighters. They kind of, they crate and then they ship the crates off. Mm-hmm. So they're out in the market right now. But, you know, people are pushing.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. I mean, with everything transitioning to being online, there's less need for having a retail or a showroom. You're seeing a lot of malls here in America get shut down right now because everything is going online. But a lot of these businesses still need a warehouse or industrial building to manufacture, store supplies, and kind of have like or act as a home base, if you would. You mentioned office space right now is taking a hit. Now, I know during the pandemic, there must have been like a huge hit because everyone's working from home. There was all the stay-at-home orders. What have you seen in terms of office? Are you seeing any sort of rebound right now?
A bit. It's coming back, but it's not where it was pre-pandemic by any means. But, you know, I think the office will always be there. I'm an office guy. I love going to the office. I love being a part of that. And I don't think that'll ever change. Like, we were talking about earlier, you love coming here. Mm-hmm. It's your space. And I think that should be separate from like where you live. You know, I can't work from home. I just, you know, I got my dogs there. I love spending time with them. My girlfriend's there. So it kind of, I feel like you got to get into the work mode, and that's from going into a space, right? You know, and it is coming back. There's more tenants out in the market right now than there was previously. But, you know, pre-pandemic, I don't think we'll see that level of office space coming back. It's just, and another thing, a lot of tenants are downsizing as well. You know, for example, they won't just give up their whole space, but they'll downsize a bit, maybe try to get into a smaller suite because they don't need all the square footage, or maybe they're coming in 2 days a week instead of 5 days a week. So, you know, I think a lot of companies that I'm seeing they're just trying to lower their monthly payments and trying to find better deals. And especially downtown, there are deals to be found down here right now. There's high vacancy rate down here. Very as high as I've seen it ever since I've been around.
What kind of vacancy number are we talking?
I mean, I've 20-30%.
Wow.
Which is pretty high.
Sure.
And I know a number of landlords here that are ready, willing, and able to cut deals. You know what I mean? They're giving free rent. They're giving moving concessions, you know, heavy TIs, heavy tenant improvements. They'll basically pay for you to rebuild your space. Like they're, you know, moving allowances. They'll kind of roll out the red carpet for a lot of tenants right now.
For the listeners out there, what is a TI, or in other words, a tenant improvement allowance?
Yeah. So a tenant improvement allowance is, you know, say you find a nice space, but it's not really perfect for you at the time. You know, you kind of go to the landlord and say, look, we love the space, but we need some help to make it our own. Most landlords, if they want to, they'll give you a tenant improvement allowance to go ahead and use in order to update the space per your needs. You know, and then in some cases, landlords will handle the TI, right? Like that's easier for the tenant. Like you're just like, all right, landlord, I want you to build out 10 offices, build out a conference room, all glass, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the best case scenario as a tenant, just to let the landlord handle that and on their full dime. But there are some cases where they'll provide you an allowance and you'll either pay up front and then you'll be reimbursed, or you can just, they'll pay as you go. You know what I mean?
And you did a good job walking us through this lease agreement. We did a 39-month lease with 3 months free on the back end. And then we negotiated a $20,000 tenant improvement allowance. And I liked it because we had control over it for the most part. We, you know, fronted the money and the cost of whatever renovations we did. We improved the kitchen out here.
Yeah.
We put in all new doors, new hardware, new plumbing fixtures, countertops. And then we renovated both bathrooms here, kind of doing the same thing. And then we had a little bit left over, which we were able to use to help supplement the podcast set. But that was kind of nice because we had control over the design for the most part. I mean, they had to approve it. But outside of that, it was kind of a nice perk that, you know, this was my first time ever leasing an office space. I wasn't very familiar with what a tenant improvement allowance was until we went through the process. So thank you for helping us negotiate that.
Yeah, I'm really glad to be in here and see how it turned out. And you guys are obviously doing great. And that's what makes me happy, right? Like seeing my clients be successful, like your business has grown, you're doing big things. I was at your guy, you know, the event a few weeks ago, and like, that was huge. So that for me, dude, it's like, I actually care about what happens to my clients. Like a lot of brokers are like, okay, this is very transactional, right? Mm-hmm. Like we've continued to be friends. I see you on the street all the time. Like for me, and that's kind of what separates myself, is like, I enjoy the story and the journey along with the whole process, right? Like some people are like, okay, thanks, it was nice doing business with you, we'll never talk again. Like me, dude, I'm like, let's go get beers and, you know, and like have a good time. And like, that's, you know.
And I got that sense from you from when I first met you. So kudos to you, man. I think, you know, more brokers would probably transact more had they had that approach. But it's honestly, man, for us, from like, dude, having a cool office space to come into like this, we got the high ceilings here.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
We got arcades in here. We got a ping pong table. We got a good working station over there. And then over on this side, we got the podcast set. Which is great for, you know, hosting podcasts, but also it came with a lot of cool stuff that, you know, the landlord threw in, such as those boxes over there, the call boxes where we can go into their quiet boxes and we can make private phone calls if we need to. But it's really become more than a place for us to work. It doesn't have the corporate vibe. It's great for shooting content. And, you know, it's not uncommon for us to come in here on like a, you know, weekday night after our meetup. Yeah, dude, and
I don't think I ever want to leave
our weekend. Yeah, it's a cool spot.
And the thing about the space, like, this is my ideal. This is what, like, you're the ideal client for me, just because I love these creative spaces. mm-hmm. right? Like there's, you know, there's law firms, and I love law firms too. Don't get me wrong. I love the law, but you know, those are more kind of mundane spaces that are just like dense with private offices. Like this, dude, this is high ceilings, like concrete flooring. Like that's my ideal. I'm very into the creative spaces, more open space, more, you know, where you can figure it out. You got the nice glass conference room. Like that's my, you know, it's really great to see it all come together.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, what are you seeing in terms of cap rates amongst those three asset classes here in San Diego? Hey guys, real quick, I hope that you're finding value in this show. If you could do me a huge favor and drop a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you're listening on, it would mean the world to me. Also, if you know of anyone that would potentially benefit from this podcast, feel free to share it with them so we can help more people build wealth through real estate investing. Now back to the show.
Everything's, I'd say, raising pretty high right now. I mean, it's harder to transact for sure. On the sales side, because interest rates are high, I'd say 6.5%, I think, around there. And it's just tougher to get deals done. Things that were penciling are not penciling 3 months ago. You know what I mean? It's harder to transact right now. People are taking their times more to just really look at a deal more in-depthly and kind of see what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's everything. You know, there's developers. Even developer pricing isn't what it used to be. You know, even so, for example, downtown land pricing is it's very rare, right?
Sure.
Like it's rare to find good land pricing down here. So I'd say market land pricing in Little Italy-ish is around $1,000 a square foot these days. So these landlords are getting $1,000 per foot for based on the land value.
Okay.
You know, so put in perspective, you know, say there's a 20,000 square foot lot down here. Those sellers want 20 million. You know, they want $1,000 a foot where, as if it's an office building, right? And you're not going to do anything with the land. That's more 500 to 600 per square foot range.
Okay.
But that shows you the price for land is at an absolute premium down here. So, you know, these guys, because it's you know, there's not a ton of land down here. Finding something that's mm-hmm. 20 to 25,000 feet downtown San Diego is very, that does not happen often. And that's kind of the square footage that these big developers want to, you know, that's what they need in order to build these 300, 400 unit multifamily deals.
Sure.
But no, there's a lot of good stuff going on down here. Still, there's developments all over the place. 2100 Kettner Boulevard, that's an office deal by Kilroy.
Is that a new build?
That's a new build. Probably 2-3 years ago, but I think they finally got a lease done over there. But it's beautiful building. I toured a client through there a few weeks ago, and like you would love it. High ceilings, very similar feel and vibe. But Kilroy's a big time office landlord, and they purchased the body, beautiful site, the gas station and the car wash right on Pacific Highway. And they're going to do another office deal. They're basically going to replicate what they're doing across the street to make another office campus.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned before we started recording that right now, Class A office space in downtown San Diego is struggling to lease up. So it's interesting that they would go build another one.
Yeah, they're kind of taking that approach which, you know, I love it. It's exciting. They're kind of being bullish on it, which I can respect.
Now, when you said the 2100 Kettner Boulevard, are you talking about the one right here on Kettner, big building across from AVA Apartments?
Yes. Yep. Right across from
gorgeous
ZK.
Building.
Beautiful. And it's, dude,
I haven't toured
end,
it yet, but I always walk by it. And I'm like, great. Dude, it's gorgeous.
Ton of office
and
on
now
top.
That's a little bit different model, right? Because there's some what's it called? It's called the co office space. What is that called? There's a name for it.
Yeah. So there's retail on the bottom.
Office
on the top.
But like spaces out here, in WeWork. What is the name for that?
Yeah.
It's like a shared office space and you
co-working. Yeah.
So now they have some co-working spaces there, correct?
Not at 2100 Kettner.
Okay.
Initially they wanted to do, but that's at where, yeah, at 1420 Kettner, they had the co-working spaces. But 2100 Kettner at first, they wanted a single tenant to come down. And because, you know, Apple had recently moved down here there and they bought some land in Rancho Bernardo, I believe. But, you know, these guys were hoping that a company like that or Facebook would come down and take this whole campus, right? Like those were the original plans. And same thing, I don't know if you're familiar with Horton Plaza. That's another development that's going on. And then the RAD, the Research and Development District near Seaport Village is another deal that's really cool. So there's four like really awesome stuff. Office deals going on right now. It'll be interesting to see.
So Horton Plaza is a old shopping mall.
Yeah.
And they're repurposing it.
Correct.
What is it going to be?
So office, same thing, mixed use, office, retail. Stockdale Partners out of LA bought it a few years ago and they're in process of doing everything, regutting it. I'm not sure where they are on tenancy. But it's like, you know, all these places just, they need to get one, right? And then when they get one, that's, it flows, right? Like they see, oh, well, these guys just moved down here. Dude, let's do it, right? So I think you really just got to catch fire and find that synergy, and then stuff will start happening. So I'm thinking, I know 2100 Kettner just recently got a tenant. So hopefully they start to catch some fire, get some more people lined up. Because, you know, I love downtown. I live in Little Italy, work in Little Italy. I walk everywhere. You know, yeah. I got my dogs. Like
I always see you around town.
Yeah, I'm always around doing something, getting into trouble. But it's just, it's fun, you know, and I love the downtown environment. And, you know, people our age, like they do too. You know, you live down here, you work down here, you enjoy walking around, being in the moment. Like
it's my favorite neighborhood in all of San Diego.
It is.
And in Orange County. So yeah, I love it down here. So you mentioned co-working space. So WeWork, I know of Spaces.
Regis.
Yeah. Regis is very popular. What exactly is a co-working space?
So co-working spaces are more for when like startup companies, for example, like they're not sure if they're ready to take the jump on their own space yet. So you kind of hit up these guys and they're great. You know, I've done definitely referred people over to them before and they do a good job. But you can kind of just rent out single private offices, double private office, you know, two private offices mm-hmm. and basically just smaller space, you know, so you don't have to take the footprint of signing a long-term lease. It's more short-term stuff. I know they do maybe month to month, some stuff like that, but those give you more flexibility, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you sign a 3-year lease and a lot of people want that though. Like I would want that. I'd want to do a longer term lease first. So you don't have to worry about moving because moving blows. No one wants to do that.
Right.
And second of all, you're tied into these annual increases, right? That's another important part.
That's true.
Because if you don't lock in your increases, that stuff can raise every year. Mm-hmm. The landlord can be like, all right, well, we're going to raise your rent 5% or you're out.
Yeah.
You know?
And we came from a co-hosting space over there at Spaces.
Yeah.
And I believe we just did a 6-month lease. And you were right. When the 6-month was up, they were giving us a nice rent increase.
Yeah.
But also from like a price per square foot basis, we get so much more with this.
Totally.
And it's long term. And then we can customize it. Over there, your hands are kind of tied. You can't really customize anything. And a price per square foot basis, it was way more expensive.
It's high over there.
Here.
Yeah. And it's actually hard. Sometimes it's hard to get out of those things. You have to like give them a 6-month notice or something mm-hmm. like that. So I've heard that's been an issue for a few things.
But I think for like a new entrepreneur or a new startup and you're like, hey, I just want to, you know, get something for 6 months and then see where we're at after that point. And I, you know, maybe you need a place to work or you need access to computers and printers and a quiet space and a place to meet clients. I think it's a great solution,
yeah.
But it's not a long-term solution.
So great first step, in my opinion, right? Yeah. Like I've helped a lot of, you know, clients that have come from there and been like, all right, I think I'm ready to take this leap. And then, you know, it's on me. It's like how we did, for example, like we, you know, there was some coaching going on just because you didn't know coming from that, it's totally different, right? Your copier is included. Everything's included. Now you're like, dude, you're going to get all the furniture and everything, mm-hmm. right? Like you got to provide all the stuff. So it's a good stepping stone, I'd say.
It was.
Yeah.
It's interesting because when this office, when we leased it, it was also for sale.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's still for sale.
Yeah, but luckily, remember, we got you that right of first refusal offer.
Right.
So keep that in your back pocket.
We do have that, which is cool. And also, like, if we did not decide to buy it and a new buyer came in, our lease would still be intact,
correct.
Which is kind of nice. Still,
yeah.
But I had a little bit of interest in potentially buying the office. And so I just looked at the pricing guidance. I looked at what the interest rates are and LTV. I actually reached out to a couple lenders. And based on all that, and there's actually an HOA in this particular building.
Yeah.
This building that we're in has about 250-unit condominium complex around it. So it's residential. And there's a pool, jacuzzi, there's a gym, there's a rooftop that like overlooks the bay. But with all that, there's an HOA. So the HOA on this thing, I believe, is around $1,000. And so when I just ran the numbers and the PITI and the down payment and what we're renting it for, it was like much cheaper for us to rent it.
Totally.
Like probably like almost $3,000 less per month to rent it. And so I thought it didn't make sense for me to buy it. And then you'd be trapping that equity in this. And because office is kind of slow right now, I don't see a lot of upside and appreciation with the office space right now. So I decided, hey, I don't think it's a good move for us right now.
And that's the right move, you know? Think. And then, but the time, you know, you do have that option, which is a good thing. So it's kind of on, you know, if and when the time is right, you know, and there's, I'm seeing some people that are bullish on office. I am, you know what I mean? Like I see some people that are still like, look, it's going to come back and, you know, who knows what's going to happen, right? Like, as I mentioned, I think office will always be part of people's life. Like they want to get out. People want to be invited. People want to be with each other. Like for me, I think about it, like I love being with my team, right? Like my partners,
same.
Because that's where stuff gets done. Like, think about it. If you got to hop on a call every 5 minutes to figure out some mundane detail, dude, that's a waste of time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I love having my office right next to my partner so we can go in, we can chop it up, you know, just talk, you know, talk the game and figure stuff out, right? So I love being around the other people in the community. And I think, like, you know, a lot of young people, they do enjoy that. They enjoy the camaraderie, being around, being in a good location, being around good restaurants, good bars, just having that availability to go, you know, enjoy yourself too.
I agree. I mean, we're in here every day. And honestly, like, without this office, if we were all remote, it's wouldn't have nearly the same chemistry that we do today.
Totally.
And it wouldn't, like, even be close.
Yeah. And it's just having to hop on a call. Like, people, I don't, like, you know, it's like having to set up a call. It's like, dude, just come in and talk to me. And that, and also, it's like you really get to tell how someone's feeling in person,
yeah,
right? Like, if someone's upset about a deal, what's going on, they need some help, like, you know, maybe a deal went sideways, which they always do. But, you know, and if you just, you can't really tell, like, how someone's actually feeling, right?
Agreed.
And so sometimes you got to be there, just be, look, it's going to be all right. Like, stuff happens, deals. Like, and I'll tell you, like, deals do, they're crazy, right? Like, you know, even with our deals, sometimes it was like, is this going to happen? And that's just the nature of the beast, dude. Like, you have to be, it's a different breed of kind of person. You're just ready, right? Like, you're ready for stuff to go sideways, ready for things to almost fall apart and then to hang on. But, you know, if you have a group of parties that really want to get something done, you know, it gets there for the most part.
Yeah.
But industrial, you know, it's like you said, it's a lot of these e-commerce companies, right? Amazon bought a huge piece of land in Miramar, like, or Kearney, right near Miramar. And
so Amazon, they own their industrial buildings. They don't lease them.
They changed it. So they did lease it, and they were like, why are we going to lease anymore? Yeah. In like Otay Mesa, another area down south near the border.
Might as well get all the depreciation.
Yep. So they started buying a ton of stuff down there. They bought this new deal in Kearney. So a lot of those e-commerce companies, they're just using their warehouse for that stuff. So, and then Otay Mesa is another area that's like popping off, absolutely, because Miramar's big, Kearney's big, Poway's big, but then, you know, they need more warehouse, right? Like, it's just, it's got to happen. So there's a lot of new build to suits going on down there, a lot of new developments in industrial, and it's just, it's stayed strong through all this, right?
Sure.
Like, it's just, it has, like,
sure,
it's been, it's, and warehouse is interesting because it is what it is, right? It's a warehouse. You don't need all these tenant improvements, you know what I mean? Like, some restaurants, they're not the strongest, right? Like, some mom and pop shops, it fluctuates. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes they can't make enough to stay in business. They go out of business, blah, blah, blah. Like, these big warehouses, you know, and these warehouses are 20,000 to 50,000 square feet, right? Some even bigger than that. So usually they're on a pretty good trajectory of what they're doing. They're staying well. And
I think industrial out of those three are probably the most recession proof, if you would, right?
Totally.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, man. Retail wise, is there a big discrepancy between retail located here in an area like Little Italy, where you have all the best restaurants and all the best, like, nightlife, that sort of thing, versus kind of out east, a little bit more inland?
Totally.
And a discrepancy in cap rate, I assume, as well?
Yes. Yeah. Just because it's location, right?
Yeah.
Like, down here is where everybody's living. You know, there's tons of residential around here. So they want to be where the people are, you know, the young people, where everybody's walking to work, everybody's. And this is the echelon for that, in my opinion. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're close to the water, you're close to the airport, you're close to, you know, all these new developments that are going on. So this is
why we're buying the Found Hotel right here in Little Italy, the 24 unit, because
this is
the best neighborhood, and this is why you and I, you know, live here.
Yeah.
Question for you. So lending, what does lending look like amongst those three asset classes in terms of, like, LTV and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I'd say more deals right now are getting done with the industrial space. Like, it's harder to make office deals pencil right now. Even lenders and stuff, they're just seeing it differently right now. You know what I mean? They're getting a little spooked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Same with retail. Warehouse is, it's just strong. And, you know, lenders that I'm seeing are still super, you know, relaxed about that, and they feel good about those deals. So, because those deals just, they are what they are, right? You know, and they're going to be there. They're not going to develop the land because it's zoning's a big part of that, right? So, you know, warehouse is definitely the strongest of the three right now.
What are your lending options if you go buy, like, an office space, let's say?
So you can do an SBA loan, which is what a lot of people do. And those rates fluctuate. You can do an SBA.
What about, like, bank, credit union financing?
Yeah.
Traditional lending,
all that stuff. But most of my clients go the SBA route because it's around 20% down usually.
Yeah. What about like Fannie Freddie commercial loan products agency?
I haven't heard much. Okay. Not most of my guys have done those. Mainly SBA or conventional. You can do a conventional loan. There's opportunities. Some of these lenders can get aggressive and they're not afraid to get their hand, you know, their hands dirty and look into these deals and everything. But more the traditional ones, you know, are kind of hands tied right now.
How did you first get into these asset classes?
It's interesting. It's kind of the shop I work with, QFC Real Estate. We're more of a smaller boutique firm, right? So it's like, it's kind of the Wild West. You know, I wasn't really taught one way or another, but kind of how I was just like brought up in the Wild West, man. I was like, oh, I met this guy. He wants this. Let's go hang out with him and figure out what he wants, you know? So I kind of just, it was all growing and just being pushed into the fire, dude. Right. Like, and that's how I think it should be. Yeah. You know, I think that's how you learn quicker. You just figure it out, you go, and then, you know, but I like it because I'm not tied down to one asset class, right? Like, I'm going to go help out a restaurant and then tomorrow I'm going to go tour a warehouse guy and then I'm going to help an office guy. So I really enjoy that because it doesn't get stale either, right? Like I'm and all those deals are different, you know, like an office deal is totally different than a restaurant deal, which is totally different than a warehouse deal, right? Because restaurants, you know, and this gets into triple nets and you know, so on a restaurant or a retail deal, you usually have to pay triple nets, which are taxes, insurance, and maintenance. If you ever see NNN by a lease rate, that's what that stands for. So on like a retail deal, the tenant handles all that stuff. So like here, you just have to pay the utilities, right? Like you don't pay for the taxes, the insurance, but on these retail deals and usually warehouse deals too, they're responsible for the NNN for everything.
Basically everything except for the debt service?
Yes, exactly. Okay. So the tenant's handling everything. When there's an issue, the tenant's got to handle it, you know, all the maintenance, the taxes, insurance, all that stuff.
And how long are those triple net leases typically?
Those are usually 5 to 10. So a lot of restaurant deals are 10 years with a two, five year option, maybe 2 5-year options. Cause those guys want to stay in a space,
wow,
right?
Like 10 years.
10 years.
Holy cow.
Cause they're putting in the money, you know, they're putting in the, they're going to upgrade the space, put in the TIs. Usually those deals, like they're kind of, you know, everything's negotiable, right? But a lot of those deals, the landlord's like, nope, I'll give you some free rent, but you handle bringing in your grease trap, bringing in, you know what I mean? Like you handle the restaurant improvements. Mm-hmm. So
that makes sense. Cause I mean, even for us coming in here and doing all this work to set this all up, you know, invest money in the podcast set, I would hate for this to end early and be like, oh, sorry guys, we're going to move on. You know what I mean? So I totally get that.
Yeah.
And especially in that sector.
Yeah. Cause those people, they want to be in there for a while, right? Like they want to see their businesses grow. And it's like to have to switch locations quickly is
sets you back.
Not a good thing.
Yeah.
You know?
How would you recommend someone who maybe is a listener and they want to get into brokering commercial real estate, how would you suggest they get started? Learning to become a successful real estate investor can take a lot of time and dedication, which some people just don't have. If you're one of these individuals, this doesn't mean you can't invest in real estate. My company, Summers Capital, is buying a bunch of boutique hotels right now, and you can invest with us in these deals without having to do any of the work. Our team sources the deals, we secure the lending, we take care of all the renovations, and we even handle all the day-to-day operations with our in-house management company, making it truly hands-off and passive for our investors. If you want to learn more to see if we can help you, go to summerscapital.com/invest to book a call with our team. Again, that's summerscapital.com/invest. Now back to the show.
Yeah, well, no, and also I'm like a very personable guy. I'm always down. If anyone ever has questions about anything, I'm always available. I love to teach and help people, you know, and it's not to say that I've made it and I'm still working my butt off every day and learning more every day. But it's just a grind. It is, but it's amazing. There's free, you know, you have a ton of freedom. You kind of have the keys to like do what you want to do and when you want to do it, right? Like how we met. It was cool, right? Like, and then we became friends, and it's very rare that there's a job that's like that. Cause it's not even a job at this point. It's my life, right? Mm-hmm. Like I everything I do, I'm kind of always working, you know, I'm just like, cause it's all about relationships. Like this career is all about relationships. You never know when someone you know is going to need a space or need some help talking about their renewal, you know? And like, for me, I'm here to help, right? Like there's questions, and I don't care if you're working with other people. I'm always around to help people answer questions, whether it's about a lease, you know, like all different types of stuff, but it's fun, man. It's a good gig, I'd say, but you got to put everything into it, right? Like it's not really a Monday to Friday 9-to-5 gig. You're constantly working, like, you know, and I play a lot of sports. So I played lacrosse in college at the University of Maryland, and I play a ton of basketball.
Really? But what position?
Yeah. In which sport?
Basketball.
Basketball. I play point.
Did you?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So I play like 5 days a week, dude. I play in three leagues.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I know I don't look like it, but I got my game a little bit.
Okay. I didn't know that. We'll have to play sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fun, dude. So I play at Balboa at Muni on Monday nights, Tuesday nights at Alliant University. And these are all 5-on-5 leagues with like refs and stuff, and they keep score.
Do you meet a lot of clients when you're out playing these pickup games?
Yeah, well, dude, that's the other thing. It's like, that's what I love. I love those like organic relationships that are built that way. And, you know, successful business owners are all out doing that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you never know. I've been showing probably 4 or 5 new clients that I've just met playing basketball.
Yeah.
And now we're like going to look at other spaces for their businesses. And like, that's the cool thing about real estate, right? Like, it's just, it's very organic, and it happens. It's not like pushy and salesy. Like, that's not who I am. Like, I'm not, you know. Everyone talks about cold calling, and you know, there is a part of the business that you do have to do that in. But like, that's not I'm more of, you know,
organic
I'm out in the field, right? Like, I'm meeting people in different locations. I also coach lacrosse. So I coach younger kids. I used to coach at Bishop's in La Jolla, coach the high school team, but now I do some younger 5th and 6th graders over in OB at Robb Field. And dude, it's just like, you're around these parents, you know, you're meeting people, they trust you, and it's just like, it's exciting, you know, and you never really know what can happen next. That's what I love. It's like, the next day you could be working on a $5 million sale.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Like,
what do you guys make? Like, what is the typical commission for, you know, maybe like transacting and brokering some of these asset classes? Cause I'm familiar with multifamily. Like, we sold a multifamily deal in Indy about a year ago. And that was a big name broker. They were like one of the biggest multifamily brokers in all of the Midwest. And they did it for 2%.
Okay.
But then, you know, residential real estate, you're looking at, you know, 5 to 6%, yeah, right? 2.5 or 3% going to the buying agent.
Yep.
And then 2.5 to 3 to the seller agent. But I feel like these larger multifamily deals, 2 to 3% is kind of the standard.
Yeah.
And a lot of those brokers will double on the deal.
Yeah.
What is the typical going commission in these asset classes?
So for office, downtown office is... And it's interesting, right? Listing broker, tenant broker. So I was the tenant broker for you. And then there's a listing broker. So it's usually 6% of the base rental, the gross base rent, right? And then in most cases, I don't know how this started or why this started, but it's 2% to the landlord broker and 4% to the tenant broker. Just because, you know, sometimes you want to give that extra percentage point for them to bring the tenant in, because there's other options out there and you kind of want to give them that extra push to get in. So for leasing an office, it goes 2% to the landlord, 4% to the tenant broker, 6% total of the gross lease rate. And then in retail, it switches 3 and 3 for the most part, 3% landlord, 3% tenant. And then same with warehouse. And then on the sales side, it's anywhere from it all depends on how big the price is, right? Like, if you start to get into the 10 million plus, it's kind of basis point thing. But if you're under 10, usually it's 2 or 2.5% split. Or so 5% total, two and a half to each broker.
Got it.
Yeah.
And does the size of the deal matter? Like, if it's a $20 million deal versus a $2 million deal?
Yeah, it totally does. And that changes. And then, that, you know, it gets, maybe you get a point on a $200 million deal, $25 million deal, you know? And usually on those bigger deals, right, it's sometimes it's off market. Sometimes, you know, it gets a little dicey. So I've even seen, and we've had to do this before, where, you know, your own, especially if it's an off market deal, where your client pays your fee. So say I find an off-market deal, and then I bring it to like a developer client, they would have to pay my fee. Because the seller doesn't, if it's not on the market, they don't want to sell. They don't want to pay me a fee.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So they're like, nope, the landlord or the buyer can handle your own fee. But I've seen these really sophisticated guys are cool with that, you know, because they're excited that I'm out hunting deals for them, right? Because they wouldn't even know about these deals if I wasn't doing it. So
when you represent a tenant like us, for example, in a lease, do you find that some of these tenants down the road end up buying the building?
Oh, 100%.
Really?
Yeah, because you just fall in love with the space. You love the space. You know the space. Like, it's a part of you, right? Like, you're going to, you know, you grew your business here.
Yeah.
Right? It'd be hard to kind of leave. And that's a big part of my business is you lease somebody a space out for 2, 3, 5 years, and then they come back. And that's what I love. I love like the reoccurring businesses, because it's just, you know, you've already worked with these people before. It's smooth, it's easy, you know. So that's, I love that part of my business, is like reoccurring stuff, you know. So when people are ready to, you know, and a lot of people, they grow out of the space and they need more, like But that's, I enjoy that because that's, you know, and it shows that they liked me. They stuck with me because they liked how I work. And, you know, I'm a responsive guy. Like, that's why you and I feel like really got along well, because we both were on it. We both didn't mind talking on the phone. We weren't afraid of that. We were responsive. We were, you know, we just wanted to get a deal done. Yeah. And that's like, that's my ideal client. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think real estate, generally speaking, I mean, every transaction, like you alluded to, is different, but the end goal really for all groups and all parties is the same. I mean, everyone is trying to get paid, or they're trying to benefit from this transaction. Somewhere, I mean, we're trying to move in here so we can have a space, and the seller's trying to make some money.
100%.
The landlord's trying to make some money. The brokers are trying to get some commission. So the end game for every transaction is, let's get to the finish line, right? Yeah. So how do we navigate that?
100%.
And so that's beauty of real estate. But man, I appreciate you coming on, brother.
Yeah.
Looking forward to staying connected.
For sure, man.
Hopefully we'll see you at our meetup next week in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Wednesday, March 15th, 5:30 p.m. at the Above Ash Social. We'll link your contact info in the show notes. Appreciate you coming on. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Peace.